Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge. I was about to say the Nairo Quintana podcast. The Lantern Rouge cycling podcast preview. Vamos Nairo, man. It's for the Movistar team preview. A nice short name for us to deal with, Movistar team in 2024. And we're going to have a look at their 2023 season. Yes?
Movistar Quelmeques de Parnier. That would be a goated name.
Isles Baleares, which is the Balearic Islands, I think. Case de Parnier, that would have been a tough one.
Would have been a tough one, Benesto. Indeed.
Reynolds would have been good. Back in the 90s, 80s. 2023 for Movistar. I think an okay year. That's my assessment of it. An okay year overall with a lot of other riders performing that maybe better than I expected, but with Enrique Mas unfortunately not performing as they hoped in the big grand tours with crashes and his level overall. But how was their season by the numbers, Benji?
3 Welter wins. 2 of the 3 are Aine Rubio. 66% of the Movistar victories in Welter are Aine Rubio. So 3 Welters, 16 total victories. First, let's start off with the most important rider, the UCI point merchant of the team, because it's important. 1,562 UCI points without winning a single race. Alex, the descending guru, Aramburu, he's back in town. He just can't win because he rides pretty stupid in the finals of races. Was it Bernocchi?
Jorgensen's the points leader.
Yeah, but Aramburu does only UCI. He's gone.
Dude,
okay?
That Bernocchi last 2Ks from Aramburu was so bad.
It's as if Valverde was already DS in the car.
Well, yeah, probably he's been teaching him for the last 3 years when he was on the team. He's like, what you want to do is the first guy at 1K to go, he actually wins morally. don't worry when they come around you. So, yeah, Aramburu, he actually was good this year. I mean, he scored points. Points
I'm
are important. Rubio, I really do remember. I remember both his wins. First, the one with on Jebel Jais was particularly memorable because they try something different, and it's actually one of the most unique wins this year in that from the peloton on a mountaintop finish, he got a full almost sprint lead out on a flatter section from Albert Torres, who's like a track, usually a lead out guy, to create the separation for the 55-kilo climber, who then was able to go on with it later when the gap was already created by Torres. I think that was really good tactics.
A mountain dog buddy?
It was like that. So kudos to them for that. I think that was a really nice move and well planned and executed. And then I remember his second win in the Giro because that was when Pino threw all the toys out of the tantrum because he rode really, really badly and then they mugged him. So yeah, good on Aine Rubio. What are your other highlights from them this year, Benji?
But Jorgensen was definitely one of the riders, as in second at Romandy, winning Oman Plus stage there, but also his classics. I recall him being sent forward in the likes of RVV, being in that front group, but also in E3 top 10 together with Caja. No, not with Caja Rural. That's not a rider. Garcia Cortina, basically the same thing. Lascano, towards the Vlaanderen, is one of those things that. Yeah. That was legendary with Christophe in the break ahead, then actually still being to deliver a second spot in that race afterwards. That's legendary. Those are like the main things, to be honest, that I remember. Like, and it's shocking to me how many other riders won races as well at Movistar that I didn't remember. Mühlberger won 2 stages at the pro level, Deutschland Tour and Alps. Guerrero, next to Jorgensen winning Oman, he won Saudi Tour plus a stage. Serrano won the GP Wallonie. forgot Serrano and the GP Wallonia existed. And then we think about Gaviria, Romandy stage. Well, yeah. Sorry, but I rate other races higher. And then, yeah, Enrique Mas. It's sad that he crashed out on day one of the Tour de France. That's pretty clear.
Yeah, do you reckon? Do
you reckon we might have seen a very different outcome to the year for Enrique Mas if he didn't crash out on stage one of the Tour de France? Because stage one is a pretty bad day to crash out in. You can't prove anything.
Yeah, because also if you're really banged up, it's tough to prepare for the Vuelta. Also, physically, yep. You've just done this huge peak for the Tour. That's really tough. So, yeah, not ideal, obviously, to crash out of your main goal of the season on day one, especially with a Grand Départ in the Basque Country. So,
yeah,
I'm obviously an Enrique Mas guy, but not his best year overall, I think. And he is that Grand Tour guy. Like, he needs the Grand Tours to really perform. And he also wasn't as good in the Italian Classics. Can't remember if he did them because he won Giro dell'Emilia last year ahead of Pogacar, and then was pretty good in Lombardia too. So that was also not as good in the Italian Classics this year. I would say, what would I say? So they're mostly positives. And Lazcano as well, he actually confirmed that it wasn't a fluke. Like, he's actually a beast. Like, he's a legit rider. What would I say would be the negatives? I don't know.
Jorgensen leaving.
Yeah, that's a big one. Probably. There's a lot of guys in their team who probably just not performing with Sosa at all. Not getting anything out of Abner Gonzalez. García Cortina, I think, didn't have a very good year. Mm-hmm. And so they had a lot of filler on the team. But yeah, onto their transfers, that's the big one, Benji. Jorgensen, their best classics rider, their best overall rider, all-round rider, leaving. I think that's a big blow for them.
Yeah, and like, he's going to Visma Lab, and like, that's 1,600 UCI points in the bin for this team. It's hard to replace that. You just need Alexander Amburu to step up, or García Cortina to do what Amburu has been doing, or to get someone to replace that, which they kind of potentially did. But we'll go into that in a second. Carlos Verona, also a big name leaving, in my opinion. Also, he's like one of the cornerstones of the team. There's many cornerstones of the team leaving this year. Verona's leaving. There's Rojas retiring, which always a useful domestique. Erviti, very important for the team in previous years. Yeah, he was toning down a bit, but was still a notable ride. Those two riders are retiring, and I agree there's riders that are leaving that are less valuable. Abner Gonzalez, like, I still remember, maybe this is stupid that I remember that, the Tour de la Provence, I think Ventoux finish, might be mixing two races together, or Chalet Renard finish, where Sosa won ahead of a few riders. Bernal was also in that race. Rodriguez was also in that race, but Abner Gonzalez finished like top 7 or something in that race, or top 10 or something. That's like the only memory of Abner Gonzalez I have. But if you can climb that well on that day, you can probably climb that well on other days as well if they can get the best out of you, and they didn't, to be honest. Then Holman, we mentioned him when he's going to Alpecin on our Alpecin pod. I don't think he's replaceable. He's replaceable. Lmaz Bonnet, also replaceable. Oscar Rodriguez, replaceable. He's in a package deal, in my opinion, with who?
Carlos Rodriguez.
Yes, that's true. No? Yes, that's true. As part of the contract of Carlos Rodriguez, because they have the same agent, despite not coming from the same team in that sense. Contador, I think, is replaceable, to be honest, going to Astana.
Yeah, they gave him a lot of chances.
Jorge Izaguirre, replaceable. So I think Jorgensen and Verona are hard to replace, but
nah, Verona's, you can let him go.
Depends on the money.
He ain't on 100K.
Yep.
So, and he doesn't win a lot. I know he's a very versatile rider, but and a useful rider and a good domestique and good for the team bus. But if you're really trying to cut costs, I can see it. Whereas Jorgensen, is there anything then they could have done to keep him? I also think probably no. Like, what could Movistar have done to keep him? I guess they could have extended him earlier, because they would have known how good he was before anyone else.
I agree, but I'm also worried about the fact that when he came out, Jorgensen, about the whole story that he had to invest so much individual personal money to be able to prepare himself the best way possible for the races that he was going to go to, then I am worried about the preparation on the team side. If you have to go out of your team to look at this perfect guideline of preparation and so forth, what were there any specifics of the things that he invested that money into? Was it like tunnel stuff, wind tunnel stuff, or?
I can't remember exactly, but it was like, yeah, a significant proportion of his salary. But it's also on self-funded altitude camps, the nutrition on those camps, probably ketones maybe. I can't remember if he mentioned them, if he uses them. And then custom extensions are very expensive on your TT bike, and his TT was good this year in the Dauphiné or Romandie, can't remember. Yep. In a Rolly TT, he was quite good. So there is that. Yeah, I think, you know, I already said it many times, but I'm a strong believer in don't sign Remy Cavagna and take that money, sign someone else, and spread the cost savings across performance stuff, particularly when you've not maxed that out yet, which, based on what Jorgens has said, that isn't maxed out yet. And then you're going to have that applied to all 30 riders on the roster. You're going to get better overall results than from signing Cavagna, which brings me to him. So really the outgoings, you know, shame to lose Jorgensen, but I can't really criticize him for it. They bring in Nairo Quintana. We did the emergency podcast about that. Listen, it makes sense for the team. If a team like a different team signed them, maybe it wouldn't work so well with that public, but Movistar's big in Telefonica's big in South America.
There might be some controversy about his signing, but I have to be honest, like, it's a UCI rule that it wasn't an actual doping offense. Yes, I personally believe that he probably did it for actual benefits in performance, but if that's not a rule, then it's a sports fault, just...
Yeah,
I don't know,
exactly.
Your back pain going into the mountain stage.
Oh, that's a performance. Yeah, but so if Quintana wins races on this team, Colombian fans will be happy.
Is Quintana the replacement for Jorgensen while Formulo comes from UAE being the replacement for Verona?
Yeah, Formulo Verona is a good shout. Actually, I hadn't thought about that, but they really fit together. I don't think that's quite the case. I think Formulo is here to win races.
I think
that's the idea with Formulo. But yeah, I listened to a podcast, Al Collo del Peloton, with Eddie Jacome, the Colombian journalist. And yeah, he was saying, listen, Colombian fans are stoked. They're like, why was Quintana kept out of the sport so long?
Eddie's Colombian? I thought he was French. Eddie Jacome sounds much better. You're probably right, but I thought he was French.
Nah. I thought he was Colombian cycling journalist.
Close enough. Anyway.
Oh, if I was listening to him in French, then my French has improved more than my Spanish. No biggie. So that's the two sort of marquee signings, neither of whom are Spanish, or Hispanophones rather, because Quintana has obviously been on the team before. We've already discussed it at length. Go and listen to that emergency podcast if you want us to discuss Quintana for 20 minutes. But yeah, I think that was a good signing for them, and they're probably getting a discount. The two that aren't Hispanophones are Formulo and Cavagna, a French rider on Movistar is quite unusual, coming from UAE in Quickstep. Formulo, I do kind of see it because I think he's still a very good rider. 3-year deal is long. He's 31 now, and he's not as good as he was in 2018-19, but he still won two races at the end of the year and racked up a fair few points at the end of the year, was good in Saudi, and a lot of the year he's a domestique, and I think it's not a bad signing. The Cavagna one, I think, is a bad signing.
Yep, I think so too. I feel like when I think about that signing, I think about the old Castroviejo at Movistar, as in the more time trial focused Castroviejo, not the full domestique Castroviejo we currently have. When he was riding for that team, that felt very similar, together with, was that the other Italian dude? Adriano Malori or someone Malori? I feel like he was also in that team, and it feels like that kind of vibe I'm getting from this, which I don't know. I don't see it doing that much, but hey, pretty funny to see.
Do you believe Lefebvre? Do you believe Lefebvre when he said that they're signing Cavani for the Cobble Classics?
Honestly, I'd like to see Cavani do Cobble Classics.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, they haven't got a better rider than him for it.
Domestique for Lascano.
Yeah, true. True. Send him in. But he's on a 3-year deal as well. Listen, he's won 13 races. He's won a Vuelta stage back in 2019. But frankly, he's also a sort of a second-tier TT rider. And without that, the same TT setup at Movistar, his value's then decreased in that sense. So I don't really know what their plan is for him. And I dare say if he's gone to Movistar and he's eschewed all four of the other French teams, when he is a 28-year-old who's won a Grand Tour stage and is French, I dare say it's not particularly cheap. So that's not my favorite one maybe, but I do like their others actually quite a lot.
Yeah.
So Javier Romo, I was a big fan of Javier Romo. I really, really liked him actually, and I heard he was going to Cofidis. I think they've signed him on a 2-year. I think that's a fantastic signing. Frankly, when I heard the Cofidis rumor, I couldn't believe that Movistar hadn't got in there, because this guy's, he was a triathlete, I think. Mm-hmm. Started cycling late. He's on Astana. Everyone on Astana is not performing well except Cav and a few others. And this guy's showing good flashes. At Burgos, he was a beast. In mountain stages too, look at the groups he was in. If you look at, and you won't see it in his results, but go and watch the run-in to the Javalambre on stage 6 of the Vuelta. This guy was absolutely smashing, and he was good in 2022 as well. So I think that's a really, really good pickup, and I really like Romo. Same with Paleo Sanchez for Burgos. Biache, where he's come from, he was in the group with Remco. In fact, I think dropped Remco initially on the Guadarrama stage 20 of the Vuelta. So he's young. That's just a no-brainer to get a 23-year-old Spanish guy showing flashes like that.
Yep, I agree. And not just them. Like, I like Paloma Sanchez transfer a lot, like you said. But even outside of that, I'm very curious in the other transfers. Like Carlos Canal coming from Euskalte, that's one of those riders where I'm actually less known of his qualities. I only know the guy from Pro Cycling Manager, but
he's the counter replacement that speaks Spanish.
Spanish counter? I don't know, man. I'm not necessarily too hyped about
Basque
it.
Canter, yeah.
There, I'm more interested in like what will Emmanuel Moro become, because that dude is part of like the Quattro squad, the four squad from the Italian Team Pursuit with Ganna, with Milan, with Consoni.
Oh,
and
really?
Him. Yeah.
How did Movistar get him?
European Championships World Tour team, I guess. Team Pursuit last year, I think, with those guys.
He's 21.
Yeah.
Fuck me. Should have got him in the lead out for Koi. That's a good pickup. He's 21, 190 centimeters. Yep. And he's what? He's with Milan and Ganna.
Milan, Ganna, and Consoni. Maybe Consoni is not necessarily the biggest five, but.
Fair enough. Well, good on Movistar. I really like their signings then, because I think they got Gaviria. He could slot in there. I mean, maybe he's focused on the Olympics this year, so we don't really see him too much after May. But okay, that seems to be some pretty good scouting on their part. And Canal's probably just a point score in 1-1s, 2.1s, and all those sort of races. He's still young, 22. And he was getting decent results on Euskalte. I think that's a nice signing too. Jon Baranecha, also 23, also sort of trying to get some points in those races. He's a sprinter type who can climb a little bit, but not. I don't think he's shown the level of those other guys yet, but I think it's decent.
He's climber type, eh, Baranecha? As in, wasn't he the guy that on the slopes of Ordino in the Vuelta was dropped, or was just dropped from Caruso and the other dude as like the last rider of the breakaway?
I think he can sprint though.
I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know his sprint. Like you're probably right.
He came third behind Florian Vermeersch in like a little uphill drag. I mean, maybe he's more a puncher, not a sprinter. I think you're right. I think I've mischaracterized him. But yeah, I don't know him too well, but I think, yeah, he did do that on the in the Vuelta. I mean, compare it to, if I compare it to Gaviria, Guerrero, Romeo, this is a much more stacked incoming transfers, in my opinion. Yep. And remember, the year before, Bala went out and retired. They brought in Gaviria, Guerrero, yep. Romeo. Romeo hasn't performed yet. He's young. This is, yeah, really, I think, quite a nice transfer period for what they could do.
I'm wondering financially how it's looking. Because if you take a look at Jorgensen Lieve, of course, is saving on some money so you don't have to pay him. But what was the whole Carlos Rodriguez thing? Are they getting anything from that financially?
Couple of mil.
He was coming to them first, and then he wasn't. Couple of mil.
Yeah.
They didn't spend it on these riders.
They might have. Maybe Quintana's been paid for through that. Averaged out across the years. Oh, so 1 year. Yeah, if they're paying Quintana 2 mil for 1 year, that's insane. I hope they're not doing that. Okay, that was their transfers. I think broadly we're quite positive on their transfers.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Let's talk about the two-headed duo, the beasts, Quintana and Mas. What are we going to do with these two guys? Now that they've come in, it doesn't make sense to me to send them all to the same races.
Correct.
I think you try to split them as much as possible, but the Giro suits neither of them.
I agree, but you still send Quintana to the Giro in my head, both to the Tour in my head, and Mas to the Vuelta.
I guess we've got to wait for the Vuelta parkour shortly. I would do something different. I mean, Mas and the Colds probably would disintegrate. It would just like the Avengers where the particles disappear. So Mas in 40 degrees is like, this is fun. So yeah, probably. And Quintana's proven in cold conditions. He's a proven performer. So not that it's going to might necessarily be freezing, but I think you're right. I think you just, because if you're trying to win a race, you're like, oh, if you're trying to really win the race, you say, well, there's too many TTKs, this suits me. But if you're trying to come fifth and maybe win a stage, you just race the race. And if you climb pretty well consistently, you'll come fifth in the Giro and you can win a stage. Like, there's not going to be, but that's a big assumption that Quintana is at that level on my part. Probably they'll be hoping for a top 10 at the Giro, frankly, and some decent results. And then to the TDF, I'm not sure I would send Quintana to the TDF. I'm not sure I would.
Where does it go otherwise? What's happening during that time? Would you do Giro Vuelta double?
Yeah, possibly. Depending on the parkour. I'd have to look at the Vuelta parkour first, but I guess you've got, what, the Isola stage suits him.
Mm-hmm.
You go for breakaways. He's not going to help Mas, so... Yeah. I think you should. I wouldn't. Yeah, but he won't help us. If I was on a 1 year, I wouldn't either. I'd go on the breakaway every day. So I would send him probably to the Vuelta with Mas. What about classics? Is it Lazcano, Aramburu, Garcia Cortina, Jacobs, and Norsgaard?
That's the list I have, to be honest. I don't have too much more to add to that. There's probably some riders in there that I'm skipping over that could be competing in these races. Hill Classics, I'm looking at Formolo, Mühlberger, Guerrero maybe as well. I find that intriguing. Do you send Mas to LBL? Meh.
No.
Not really, yeah.
If Italian I was classics, Mas, yeah. I would legit have Mas follow Vingegaard around. Do the same, everything.
The entire same schedule.
Why not? Just don't overthink it.
What if you go to races where he's not and Pogacar is not and try to win them?
A 1 week. Because he won't. Because he won't.
So I'm just trying, okay.
That would be what I would do if I was Movistar. Because like both of them, like Vingegaard's not good in the cold either, from what I can tell.
Is there a GC equivalent of Bauhaus? Going to smaller races without a top rider to try and win? No, I'm not having this. Pogacar is not the GC equivalent of Bauhaus.
GC equivalent of Bauhaus, who far? I mean, you gotta be fucking good to win a World Tour race. Like, you look at who won the World Tour GC races this year. It's, you don't just rock up and win. It's serious, guy. That like, Romandy Yates went there. I can't, like, who? Roglic, Evenepoel, Pogacar, Vingegaard, and then Kusev. Like, it's, I don't know who won Renewi Tour.
Who the fuck won the Bingo Bongo Tour this year? Van der Poel won but was a Belgium Tour. Renewi Tour, who the fuck won that this year? I actually have
Tim
no
Wellens.
Clue.
I could have, you could have given me 10 guesses. That dude, you're legit right. skipped from February all the way to August.
Machachuk rode him off the road. In our review.
True. Yeah. I forgot what we were talking about. Grand Tours, yeah.
Man, we went so off track there.
What podcast are we doing? Team Movistar. Movistar team. I think you are right. Maybe they're trying to get a bit more points out of Enrique, try to get him to score in the 1 week races, Quintana as well, just get some points. And, you know, this is a GC focused team historically. I think trying to win a Basque Country stage with Aaron Barru. Like, just send Aaron Barru to the right races.
Yeah, Romandy, Catalunya.
Yeah.
And milk him absolutely for UCI points.
Yeah. Canada, Renewi, Italian Classics before Lombardia. Send him to all of them. And he'll score some points for you because he's a good rider, Aaron Barru. As much as I don't like to admit it. We're disrespecting Ina Rubio, aren't we? He won, as you said, 2/3 of their World Tour races. What do they do with Ina Rubio?
Send him to 1 week races because he's clearly pretty good
at winning. I would send him to the Tour, not Quintana, and I would have him target the Isola stage from the breakaway. He can win that.
Nah.
No.
I'm sending him to all three Grand Tours for stages. And when he wins a stage, he can DNF.
Poor bastard.
Every time he wins a stage, he can DNF.
Ina Rubio just mutant performance in Florence on stage one of the Tour, out sprints Pogacar and Van Aert or whoever. Just go boom, gives yellow, goes home. 3 week holiday in Colombia, baby. 1500 watts.
Goes back for the Vuelta, stage three.
Where's the world to start? Lisbon. No, he wins the opening TT in Lisbon. Wins the opening flat TT. Smokes Josh Charling. Says, who the fuck is that? Ina Rubio. Nah, but I would send him, I think, so one of my hot takes, Ina Rubio wins Queen Stage of the Tour, which is, I'm going to say, is the Isola stage. I think Ina Rubio wins that from the breakaway. Really good climb for him. And, or can I have a saver on stage? Nah, stage 15, I don't think he'll win. I think it is the stage he looks really good for. And my other hot take is that Enrique Mas, I'm going to double down, podiums the Tour. It's my new one. Enrique Mas, podiums the Tour. And Movistar, finish top 10, that's not really a hot take, but I think they finish top 10 in the ranking next year.
Okay.
They're 12th.
I'll take it.
It's not a hot take.
Alex Aramburu scores 2,000 UCI points without winning a single race, is my hot take.
He will. But yeah, okay, I'll take that.
He didn't win a single race this year.
Yep.
And like, to be honest, the stage that Ede Schelling won?
Yeah, in Basque Country. The descent one? Was that the sketchy descent one?
The fact that Aramburu did not win that is horrible. The fact that he can't
attack on
that,
the descent, no?
Yeah, the fact that he can't win that means he can't win anything.
Yeah. I was at story time. I was walking on the front here and I ran into the guy that used to run Burke's bikes in Currumbin. And he's like big in a cycling road with like McEwen anyway.
Yeah.
And he's talking about McEwen. And it's coming back to Aramburu, Benji, and he just said,
how?
You know McEwen? He just had that mongrel dog in him. Yeah, that mongrel dog. And Aramburu needs a bit of that, Benji.
that's the story you were telling?
Yeah.
I heard today that McEwen is coming back at 41 year old to start his career again. You know how? The Belgian newspaper started the article talking about Caleb Ewan, and then halfway the article, they switched to McEwen and just kept talking about McEwen for the rest of the article.
He's 51, bruh.
Fuck. Close enough. He looks 41.
He's still...
He's like Tom Cruise of cycling.
He does. He looks in shape, man. He'd be the best sprinter on Movistar. If Kaviri's on holiday. Poor Kaviri.
You're forgetting Rubio, mate.
It'd be the second best sprinter on Movistar, probably McEwen right now. Anyway,
is McEwen better than Ewan in 2024?
It depends.
It doesn't depend, dude. Let's not roast Ewan more than he deserves.
No, they said, you know, they said he's doing the Giro, Ewan, yep. And
good.
So, like we said, alrighty, that was. Oh yeah, how many wins does Movistar have in 2024, Benji? World Tour wins, that is.
How many did they win again? Three.
They had three this year. In 2022, they had a solitary World Tour win, Verona and the Dauphiné, from a breakaway when Kenny got mad.
Yeah.
In 2021, they have three, so not prolific winners.
I'm going to go with... Oh, damn it. Like, it's not easy, eh? I'm going to go with... Two. Yes.
It's hard to win World Tour races. Like, there's 170 of them, but it's really hard to win World Tour races.
Correct. Congratulations.
Two, you reckon?
Two? I think Formula's going to win a stage somewhere.
I think they're going to win. I think they're going to be in breaks and winning, and I think they're not going to be too committed to Enric in the Tour, so everyone's got carte blanche to go on the breakaway. I think they're going to win four World Tour races, and it could even be better, but I don't want to be too get ahead of myself. If you unless Gaviria... I mean, Gaviria, if he's really good, could pick up, but it's if you don't have too many sprinters, then it's tough. Or people that can sprint, it's tough to win World Tour races, generally speaking, because most races are not won via a solo, even hilly stages.
What year does Valverde come back as a rider?
He's doing gravel. He's back as a DS. Isn't he doing DS this year?
Yes, which means so that's the reason that they're only going to win two wins.
Win zero World Tour races.
Every time they enter the last kilometer, he's going to tell them to stay at the front, do the lead out. Try to sprint for 400 meters out.
Did Patchy Villa leave?
Yes. He's leaving too.
He's going to Bora? Back to Bora?
Yes, back to Bora, correct.
Yeah, he's gone back to Bora. It's not looking good, bruv. And Jorgensen liked Villa. He said he was good. So Valverde just walks in the bus, sees the profile on the screen, just punches the screen, says, You don't need to see that, boys. Just do it on feel. If you haven't watched the Movistar documentary, there was kind of something like that happened when they're like, Bala, why did you jump then? He's like, oh, I thought that was the finish. Like, that was a K from the finish. We went over this. The climb, and then it leveled off. Climb, levels off for a K. And he just jumped on the climb, full gas sprinting. Gap, and then... well. Manana. Okay. I actually love Movistar. You know I got a soft spot for them. I really like Movistar. So I hope they do really, really well. I think their transfers are good. And Yeah, let's see how they absorb the Jorgensen loss and a bit of a transition. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping Enric has a bounce back year next year. But unless you got anything else, Benji, we'll see you later. Till then, ciao.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.